It was October 1st, 2017. I got home and put on the TV. I saw ruthless confrontation between pro-Spain and pro-independence protesters in Barcelona. Broken glass and Molotov cocktails, screaming, insulting, and vandalism all around. Hundreds in jail and thousands injured. I was witnessing the Catalan independence referendum. History was unfolding before my very eyes. The Madrid government had declared it illegal, seizing ballot papers. Nonetheless, with merely 30% of the electorate participating, the result of the referendum known before it even begun, I watched in disbelief the proclamation of the Catalan Republic. Pro-Spaniards left the parliament, leaving flags in protest. Only 14 at the time, I couldn't quite comprehend the implications of such an event. And yet, there was a scut feeling in me wondering, where did it all go so terribly wrong? 3 years later, that feeling has only multiplied. Things are worse than ever. In just 15 years' time, a once united, coexisting society has been unfathomably torn apart, polarized and intolerant. A Catalan gets irritated when he hears someone speaking Spanish, and a Spaniard rolls his eyes when someone has a Catalan accent. How then do we solve such a predicament? This is episode 1, the Catalan Independence Paradox. Welcome to Uncommon Sense. Hey guys, hello everybody. Welcome to the very first episode of this podcast, hopefully of many, called Uncommon Sense. So please bear with me. This is my first time doing a podcast of this nature. And, you know, here I am just to share my thoughts, and the kind of general gist behind the podcast is just, you know, trying to bring some, what I observe is some people don't have common sense anymore, and using common sense in a polarized and rational and emotional, a divided world, and just sharing my thoughts, my views, my opinions, unpacking what I think some of the largest problems, both postmodern society, my country, and even my small community faces. You know, I observe the world around me, and I just want to comment on it, share my thoughts, and hopefully promote healthy discussion and dialogue within these. And I will be touching on some taboo topics. This one not removed, probably one of the largest ones. But I think, as Aristotle said, the mark of an educated mind is to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it. So I'm going to be adopting various views, even contradicting myself on various topics, but not accepting it or not agreeing with it. But the ability to see from another perspective is, I think, frankly, something we've lost these past few years. And here comes a drive to bring this sort of podcast, however small or meaningless it might be. I think that's an important attribute that we are losing. And, you know, that's part of the beauty of living in a democracy like my own, like many of you do, hopefully do, that, you know, we have to deal with people's views that we don't like, we don't accept, we even might be offended by them. But if they come from respect and from, well, well-constructed arguments, we just have to live with it. And that's part of the beauty that leads to development, that leads to progress, et cetera, et cetera. And that's kind of just behind general introduction to what I want to do here. But now to dive really deep into the podcast, episode 1, I call it the Catalan Independence Paradox, obviously talking about the complicated, to say the least, phenomenon that is Catalan independentism. Of course, I call it a paradox. It's not a paradox in the traditional sense. It's not a logical paradox like the grandfather paradox or perhaps even some scientific or mathematical paradox that defies the laws of physics, but it very much is a metaphorical paradox and probably much harder to solve than the logical paradox, even those are impossible. Because I think it's just such a divisive and controversial issue, and people lost the ability to sit down and talk about it. So it's such taboo in Spanish culture, and when it is talked about, it's talked about in a degrading and a non-constructive manner. And we have to change that. So that's what I'm here to try to do. And it's actually an opinion I've held for quite a while. I've given it some thought, you know, removing my environment around me on how we should tackle this for the better for all of us. And well, the first thing I had actually was, I think it's imperative we look at the history of the movement, even where it began, because even that has some controversy. The narrative of the independentists claim that Catalan independentism is as old as Spanish society itself. The Crown of Aragon conquered Catalonia in 1137, obviously from the Muslim Caliphate. I can't remember which one exactly, which was ruling Spain at the time. It had been ruling Spain since 711, of course, until the conquest of Granada in 1492. And in this state, obviously, this is a very brief summary. You can find a much more complex and probably much more well-informed view of the events. But the point is, in 1137, Aragon conquers Catalonia from the Muslim Caliphate. And here's where their narrative, the independentists, I mean by there, begins to show that Catalans have a unique and special identity. Well, many misconceptions, and I have to admit, I had this misconception for longer than I would like to admit. They were part of Aragon. There was never such a thing as an independent Catalan state, even to begin with. So they were part of Aragon and a region adjacent to Catalonia, even today. And then, of course, Ferdinand of Aragon and Isabel of Castile, through their marriage, create the modern version of, obviously modified, edited, and very different for 2 years further Spain we have today, and obviously a very changed society. But Spain is the oldest nation in Europe, and that is when it began, and arguably hasn't been separated much since, removing the lots of wars we have had. However, I think the general accepted historical view, reviewing any type of historical revisionisms, is Catalan independentism is born in the early 20th century, specifically with ERC, Esquerra Republicana de Catalunya, the party is founded, it's born. Of course, during this very, very complicated time for Spanish society, Barcelona was a very, very left-leaning city. If anarchism was very popular during the 20s and the 30s, in Barcelona specifically, it was an anarchist sanctuary, even stronghold. Anarchism was tried, a complete disaster, by the way, but that's not the point. So Catalonia has always been, at least since that time, quite different. And of course, during the Republic, where some greater liberty or autonomies were granted, ERC becomes popular and wins some elections. Some can't remember which exactly, and there are many more people that could tell this better than me, like I said. But they win some elections, some parts. However, after the brutal civil war, the dictatorship of General Franco, all regional autonomy per se is removed. Everything is centralized, and so goes his ideology, the ideology for better or for worse, whoever on that you stand, you know, may you be. However, what cannot be denied is Catalan was censored. The censorship was humongous, both to the culture, to the language, to their traditions. And this is where I think we really see the start of this neglect. Obviously, let us not forget, and the Basque country suffered the same neglect with horrible, horrible consequences in the form of terrorism. Then the transition comes along. Franco dies, of course, in 75, and Spain adopts this semi-federal model with different autonomies. There's a Statue of Autonomy for Catalonia in 1979. And the independence groups, such as ERC, which were in exile in this time, essentially disappear. They assume that their liberty, their freedoms are fulfilled, so they see no purpose anymore. They disappear, at least for a short time. And as time goes on, the 80s and the 90s, Basque regionalism really takes the stage. However, in 2003, ERC wins the elections again due to a cumulus of factors, and the ruling party, CIU, is voted out. And then modern independentism really starts with the Great Recession and 2008. and the second state of autonomy in 2010, where the Spanish High Court of Justice repealed this legislature to give Catalonia greater autonomy, deeming it as unconstitutional, as it called for greater independence, not independence as a whole. Might I add, the people, very few segments of the people, wanted to completely break apart from Spain during this time. They just demanded this greater independence. And here, I think, is the main flaw. And main flaw, I mean, just because these people wanted greater autonomy, but the high courts or the politicians we have, they have, I think, and this goes back years since the dictatorship, we have neglected some innate, even valid desires by the Catalan people, which has led them to the extremism of independence. And 42% of Catalans support independence. Let us not forget that it's a sizable minority, but once again, it is not a majority. It's a very loud minority. And people, when seeing the neglect for their, perhaps valid, perhaps invalid, but nonetheless, I think reasonable concerns that there was an economic imbalance with Catalonia, a tax imbalance with Catalonia, however, not acknowledging everything they have gained from being a part of Spain. Also a lack of linguistic and cultural diversity that's not spread enough, which has led to drastic moves like you see now people refusing to go to a hospital if they're not attended in Catalan, which is frankly, I think, you know, how the hell did we get here? People and these extremist politicians, which were initially a minority, there were in Spain, cuatro gatos, there were four cats. I mean, and these people have harnessed popularity because of this neglect. It's cheap populism, essentially. And through this neglect, people have believed that Catalan independence would be better for them. But that's just not true. And what I think is, you cannot presume to solve such an issue by jailing their leaders, which are now more heroes to them, you know, violently repressing the referendums, however illegal they might be, because they are flawed, or banning political parties. This will only aggravate them further. You know, you want to make them feel loved and cared about in Spain that actually wants them, not stereotyping the Catalan language, making fun of people, which I've seen that a lot. And if I were Catalan, of course I would be angry. And of course, that independence might even seem appealing to me, seeing it from that perspective, but it's just a lack of communication that people can't even speak to each other anymore. And, you know, seeing these confrontation, and of course, the international press takes the oppositional view and sees the fairy tale of Catalan independence and self-determination that only aids this misconception. And with Spaniards, what I would do, we need to go out on the streets, not negotiate with the politicians, because in the end, the politicians depend on this factionalization, the polarization for their survival. They need it to live, to survive. Without it, they are nothing. They will not settle for anything less than independence. The politicians, the people's perception can be molded and made them see the reality that they will not be better served by an independent Catalonia. We need to go out on the streets and ask people, why do you want an independent Catalonia? And they're going to list a couple of factors, probably spitted directly from the propaganda of these politicians. But now you ask deeper, why would it better suit you? How would your life change? Would you be better off? Mind you, Josep Borrell, one of the greatest politicians, published a book I was reading, Cuentas y los cuentos de la independencia, how economically in Catalonia would tank. Catalonia, mind you, used to be the richest region in Spain. It's not anymore. Madrid is the Basque country, Aragon, and then Catalonia. Simply because of political turmoil of a referendum, many of the big enterprises have left Barcelona. La Caixa, being one of many, came to Madrid. Jobs have been lost. It's poor. You know, and all of the benefits it enjoys from the EU, the common market, the common currency. Just look no further than our friends in the UK. They bought this oversimplistic, you know, polarized kind of narrative and they're dealing with the consequences. This is incredibly difficult. The EU is, it's an institutional miracle. People come together and figure this out, and it's not easy to break apart. You're not going to benefit from these so-called things. They're just going to be counterproductive to the difficulty of coming out of such a union. And Catalonia will be, no different, because Catalonia benefits much more from the EU than the UK did. What we need to do, we must present a compelling argument of why Catalonia is better off with Spain and tell it to the people. I'm quite an optimist. I could still believe that there's still some decency and common sense in people. If we present it respectfully, acknowledging their demands, those that are valid, which initially they were, but we just didn't listen to them in our ignorance and flexibility. And it's in politics, it's not a weakness to be flexible, to negotiate, to compromise. I think it's a sign of strength. But once again, not with the politicians, with the people and what they want. And then the people will drive these people out of power through the power of their vote. You know? And frankly, to the demise of many, this is how we solve this. This is the only way I see I solve it. Because you cannot only rely, you know, it's true. You cannot go against the law. It's also true you cannot govern without the law. But it's even more true that you cannot solve such a deep division only with the law. Saying it's unconstitutional, that's not going to convince people. However true it may be and however valid it may be, which it is, of course. That's not how you solve the problems of the modern world. Look at our friends in Scotland. They presented a compelling argument, which was valid, of why they should remain in the UK. People went and voted. Independentism in Scotland has died. Of course, the phenomenon of Brexit has brought that up again, but that's an isolated incident. There's no general Euroskepticism in Spain as there was in the UK. And, you know, this can easily be solved because it's the argument, the logical argument just does not make sense. And I think that is how we solve it. And what I think would surprise most, many, I think all of you, well, not all of you, but surprising to most, is that these demands, which don't require independentism to fulfill them, can be solved without breaking any law, without breaking national unity, without getting out a gun and pointing at someone, preserved within the Spanish federal state, using the framework of the system we have now, the great, the wonderful autonomous community system we have in Spain, and molding it to fit these deep, deep desires, deep wishes, which are simplified, then masked by this independentism that these people, I don't think they even want. They just don't understand. I wouldn't say they don't understand it because that sounds condescending, but they just don't realize it, that it could be met otherwise without all the consequences independentism has. And, you know, that's how we solve it. I mean, if we were some kind of oppressive, misogynistic, overarching dictatorship that just wants to keep subjugating its people, then, you know, this approach is more than valid. If you were a dictatorship, the thing is that they're not even, they lose the argument. And yet, we're resorting to violent means, which will only aggravate the people further, divide them. And we're not talking about the real problem. Independentism will kill your country, a beautiful country, your nation, region, whatever you want to label it, Catalonia. It's going to wreck it, destroy it, more than it already has. Because, first of all, simply it would lose it in a referendum if it's conducted fairly and if people don't boycott it. 40% of people support independence and trust. There might be swings and uptides, but it will lose. And hypothetically, okay, say there's a self-determination referendum, independentism comes out,
let's forget about all the complications with the EU and all the laws and the borders and the infrastructure, the new tax system, the government. Forget it. Catalonia becomes independent. Now, what are you going to say to the regions that want to break away from Catalonia and go back to Spain? Tarragona, for example, a southern part of Catalonia, has a very, well, comparatively speaking, in terms of Catalonia, it's very pro-Spain. Who is the Catalan government to tell them that they can't go back to Spain or form their own nation? What kind of hypocritical logic would that be? And thus you find this hypothetically impossible scenario. And go deeper. In Barcelona, okay, Barcelona might be generally more pro-independence. You have L'Hospitalet being more pro-independence, but then you have richer, more conservative town, San Cugat del Vallès, being pro-Remain. What are you going to tell them? They can't be a part of Spain anymore? What kind of hypocrisy is that? So, therefore, that is why these types of scenarios, especially when the margins are so close, because as happened in the UK, it was 51 to 49 for Brexit. Now, sorry to keep using this example, but it was 51 to 49. And that was the other referendum, but now who says there are not more Remainers in the UK than Leavers? When the margins are so short, I think it is better to maintain the status quo, because such divisive change and controversial change, which is not so unanimously supported, it's only going to lead to further division, further agitation. Not to say there won't be any agitation, which there is. I think what frustrates me the most is that there is a solution to this. Complicated, complex. We have to break our egos, our sense that Catalans love Spain, and we need to make them fall in love with Spain, our culture, our people. And it's a two-way street. We need to put our pride in that as well. You know, we can't go around mocking the Catalan language and using football as a basis for political rivalry, as it has been, especially during the Mourinho-Guardiola era. The inherent problem, logically, why this hasn't been achieved, is, I think it's very sad. If a Spanish national politician says what I've just said and runs for a national election, there is no way he will win. Absolutely no way, even if it makes sense. Why? Because of labels, of stereotypes. They're going to label him, oh, he's separatista. Oh, he's in bed with them. And he's going to lose the election because it's a complex way to deal with things. This is not populism or simplistic politics where all the answers are easier than you think and we'll deal with the consequences later, like Mr. Trump, like Brexit, like we saw in Italy, Poland, Hungary, India now. These problems are complex, and normal people, they don't care. They want an easy answer. People are working every day, they're breaking their backs at whatever job they have. They get home and they put on the TV. They don't want to hear this. Frankly, I wouldn't either. This is difficult stuff. The job of a politician is to simplify it, even if it's wrong, and people vote for it. Delaying a problem for the next generation, my generation, who's going to have to take this up. What can I say? And frankly, it's very sad because time and time again, Spanish society has been cursed by this phenomenon. Spain is more divided than ever. We saw it with a civil war that people can't stop talking about 80 years after. People whose grandparents died on both sides and their grandchildren are now stabbing each other, insulting each other. We saw it with the rise of ETA terrorism, where the best people were not ignored by a regime, and it provoked this horrible counter-reactionary movement, causing suffering in so many homes and so many lives. And it was hell to break to solve that, but we did solve that, thankfully. But it wasn't, it took 800 deaths and 40 years of terrorism. Don't let this happen again. We cannot let this happen again for the sake of my country, our country. You know? Just something to think about. And we need to, that's the only, I mean, it's not as complex. That's pretty much it. Something to think about. Sit down, dialogue. Go out on the street, talk to regular people. Why are you supporting these people? Only then will we understand. What do you think? Saying it's unconstitutional? What's going to convince someone more? Saying you're going to, this is how much money, how much poorer you'll become. Or saying, oh, this goes against the law. So I'm sorry. We're going to, you know, you just can't do this. Or impeding people from voting. The referendum was illegal. It was rigged. It was an artifact of political propaganda to get the support of the international press and somehow half-assedly justify an independence movement that doesn't have a majority population support. That's what we need to do. That's the only way I see it. And frankly, like I described before, if we don't do something, it's going to be, there's going to be a point where it's too late and people can't talk about it. Especially my generation. You know, go around in school and you hear people insulting Catalans, insulting Españoles, fachas, calling them fascists, calling them independentists. What are we going to do? Anyways, we're now nearing the end of this podcast. That's just something to think about. Didn't think I'll get so deep with such an issue, but anyways, that was my thoughts, how it unpack. Again, people want to have different views, and that's okay. In fact, it's healthy if people don't agree with me. It shows that we're thinking critically, independently, and we're bringing in our own perspectives. That was Uncommon Sense, just me, a teenager, sharing his thoughts on the biggest problems he sees in the world. Emotional, polarized, and divided world. Hopefully, we can have a discussion about this, or, you know, I've opened you, at least you've listened this far, I've opened you to some perspective on an issue, which you only see in the mainstream media, and it's these things, they're not very talked about. So, anyways, that was Uncommon Sense, Episode 1, The Catalan Independence Paradox.
Guys, quick edit. Don't forget, there's also a blog post, a blog site, Uncommon Sense, that go hand in hand with the episodes. Just Google Uncommon Sense, Google Sites, probably my name, and it'll come up. And there's a short but sweet little blog post, The Catalan Independence Paradox. So make sure you guys check that out as well. Anyways, thank you for listening, and take care.